I think that there were a couple of analysts who recognised in advance that there was going to be a bigger Sinn Féin vote than perhaps the mainstream media were anticipating. Michael Taft, who is a researcher at the NERI Institute, has been writing about this for a while. And Rory Hearn, who's a researcher at Maynooth University, has been saying for 2 or 3 years that anyone who puts together a coherent housing policy will romp home in the next general election. So people who were listening very carefully would have had some sense that perhaps there was a chance. But I think that the scale of the success, obviously it took Sinn Féin by surprise. They would have run more candidates had they anticipated it themselves.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's interesting what you say about the housing, because a lot of people are looking at the Sinn Féin vote and wondering, what does it mean? Is it a United Ireland vote? What's going on? But as you say, most people are now saying that it's really just because they really owned the housing issue. They really said, we're going to do something about housing. And we hear all of those people who are really struggling with the issue of housing.
Yeah, I'm a theologian, and the Jesuit Centre is dedicated towards policy questions. So electoral politics isn't our expertise area, but I do think that having watched very carefully the different housing officials from the different political parties over the years, Eoin O'Brien, who runs Sinn Féin's housing policy, is clearly the standout person in Ireland. He's literally written a book, a very fine book, on how he sees the future of housing in the 21st century. And when they had an opportunity to put that to the people, it was a compelling picture. It's not that other parties didn't have housing as a priority. I know Labour talked about building 80,000 houses. I think the Soc Dems wanted 100,000. But there was something so coherent and thought through about Sinn Féin that meant that every time they spoke about it, people felt, oh, there's something solid there. We could trust these guys to change the direction.
Yeah, and I mean, as you say yourself, working with the Jesuit Centre for Faith and Justice, housing has been a huge issue for you for a long time, with Peter McFerry's work and all your work about looking at homelessness. And I mean, Peter McFerry himself has said that since he's been working in homelessness, he's only seen homelessness go in one direction, and that's getting worse. Politicians just seem to have been ignoring that and not really paying any attention to that, or not really thinking that it was an important issue and that maybe as long as there was growth, nobody would mind.
I think that that is the case. I don't want us to get too technical about things, but Irish housing policy since at least 1987 has been dedicated to this idea that the market, this magical thing called the market, no one's ever able to actually identify, would provide houses. And the government has systematically, year on year, stepped away from its responsibility to contribute towards housing for the common good. And the end result of that is we have 4,000 homeless children and 10,000 homeless people in the official figures. Those figures are not accurate. It's actually a much bigger figure. And we're now in a situation where every single person in Ireland, regardless of how comfortable you are economically, we all know someone who is either homeless or who is in the kind of housing precarity that means they have sleepless nights. That's insane in a society as wealthy as ours. And Peter said, I mean, 6 years ago, he said any government that continues these policies will eventually be kicked out. And I think that it's not that he's a prophet. It's just that he's paying attention.
Yeah, I suppose it was just inevitable in a way. And yet somehow the politicians that have been in power for a long time just haven't seen that. I mean, another thing that people really commented on was how the vote was split, not by class, not by demographic, not by gender, but by age. You know, young people overwhelmingly voted for Sinn Féin. And, you know, you can also see that young people overwhelmingly are disproportionately affected by the housing crisis.
Absolutely. I'm not young anymore. I'm approaching my 40s, but I'm very heavily afflicted by this housing situation. And if things went wrong for me, I would be 6 months away from homelessness. And I've got a great job and my wife has a lovely job. But if you're not already established, Dublin especially, but Ireland generally, has become a very harsh and difficult place to live. And you can have on paper a very large salary, but then at the end of the month actually be in deficit. And that's very difficult for people who are comfortable to understand. But those young people made their voices heard, I think, on Saturday morning when they voted so overwhelmingly for Sinn Féin and to a lesser degree then to the Greens as well, who've a sixfold increase in their TDs.
That's an interesting point too, because it's kind of been lost a little bit with the Sinn Féin landslide, I suppose. But actually, the Greens had a greater percentage increase. I mean, they went from 2 to 12. So like a sixfold increase is massive. I mean, it's bigger in some ways even than Sinn Féin's increase. They had a percentage increase, but not a sixfold increase.
Yes, yeah.
It's just that their increase meant they were starting to look like a very, very strong and leading party. You know, so the Green increase is interesting too.
Yeah, so we have two green waves, and I think from our work in the Jesuit Centre for Faith and Justice, it's important to connect the two of them. Our position, very clearly, is that housing is the first line of our climate response. One of the reasons why Ireland is so poor in terms of climate mitigation is because of how poorly we've built our houses. We've allowed the cities to spread, and we assume private car ownership, public transport is a nightmare. So if we get housing done right, and I'm not saying we don't support any particular political party, but I think it's very obvious that Sinn Féin have a coherent plan. If we get that right, then what we end up with a situation in 20 years is communities where you can walk and where you can cycle, houses that are well insulated and well built, and just a material fabric that's much more resilient when the really harsh effects of climate change begin to be felt. So there's the nationalist green wave and the environmentalist green wave, and I think that they're harmonious. They're coming from the same source.
That would be a very positive result in many ways if, you know, the housing policy of Sinn Féin could be aligned with the housing policy of the Greens, which, as you say, is to have well-insulated, good-quality housing that makes it much more easy for people to access work and public transport. You know, I mean, it seems like that would be a big win-win.
Yeah, of course, the key question now is whether Sinn Féin actually go into power, and if they do, are they able to achieve what they've said? Or do the Greens go into power and the same thing as happened in 2007 occurs again, where they take the kind of beating that comes if things don't go right? And when you think about the virus in China, and you think about Brexit, and you think about German industrial slowdown, there's lots of clouds appearing on the global economic horizon. So it might be a very difficult time to be in power. So the whole thing is very, very fragile at the moment. In the Jesuit Centre for Faith and Justice, we are hopeful that this is an opportunity for us to end this tragic experiment in allowing brutal market forces and greed for profit to determine how we build houses. There's thousands of people who are homeless. There are tens of thousands of people who are in shoddy or unsustainably precarious housing situations. We need that to be resolved. So whether it's Sinn Féin or Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael or whoever it is in power, we hope that we can decisively turn the corner now.